greetings, everybody. This is Pastor Buddy joining you live tonight, right here around the world, live, right here on WWRB 3.185. Glad to have you in here. We're also simulcasting, ladies and gentlemen, tonight, live on the Internet. You can pick us up by simply going to WWRB Radio. Click on Galaxy 1 there on Listen Live, and you'll have Pastor Buddy and the Shepherd's Call up in your computer. And we're glad to have you aboard. Praise Yahweh. Ladies and gentlemen, we know that we pass from death into life simply because that we love Yahweh's commandments. And the Bible said Yahweh's commandments are not grievous. And if you really look at the gates, and tonight this is part two of the dragon series that we're doing. We're doing three parts on this dragon series. We're talking about the wars that have ensued in the heavens and on the earth and on other planets. We talked about Mars being pockmarked and things of this nature, and it looks like that it was inhabited. There are structures that are on Mars. There are structures on the moon, and there's probably structures on the other planets and probably in the other star systems. And because, again, the Bible speaks of worlds, not world. And so you need to come up to speed that somebody were our progenitors that brought us in here and set us off here on this planet and developed it as it evolved. And we believe, according to the Holy Scriptures here, this Bible, that says it was God. Well, the word God is El, and the word plural is Elohim. And it says that when the heavens and earth were created, that the sons of Yah shouted for joy. Now, who were their sons? And these are the mighty ones. These are the watchers. And we're going to talk about them tonight and detail them. And we're going to talk particularly tonight about the systems of the dimensions that lay above our head or below our feet, because we think in terms of up and down. That's basically the construction of our understanding, because we've been hoodwinked by a science falsely called, as they know very little about themselves, and they certainly don't know a whole lot about the Creator. And to know about the Creator, you got to learn His ways. And to know His ways is to serve Him. We're going to start off here tonight in the book of Matthew, a very common scripture here of learning, and you Bible readers and studiers that we've got tonight would understand this scripture. And it's in the book of Matthew, chapter 16. And tonight on this segment, we're going to concentrate on gates. And if I can, I want to add the word Stargate, or Stargates in this case. We're talking about particular openings and dimensions where these mighty ones can enter. If you take a re-entry rocket or a capsule, like the Russians shoot up, they have a re-entry capsule. The United States has now, they had them to start with, and now they've got the shuttle. But they must hit a certain window. And everything must be precise in the patterns, and they've got to be right on the money, else you could skip out into space and miss the window, or the gate, in this case, is what we're going to call it. And I want you to think in terms of that. And so we're going to try to build a gestalt of thought on Stargates. And we're going to start in the book of Matthew, chapter 16. We're going to start at verse 18. And the Messiah, Yahushua in the flesh body, said unto him, Blessed are thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. That's verse 17. And verse 18, the one that we're going to text tonight is here. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell, the gates, now listen to that, now plural, the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto you the keys of those gates, the kingdom gates. This is what he was talking about. Now the gates of hell has keys, and we're gonna prove that to you. And the gates of heaven have keys. And you say, well, I didn't know there was any gates in heaven. I thought they were just the pearly gate. You hear a lot about the pearly gate. Well, let's read now. That take that text right there in Matthew chapter 16, verse 18. And let's go over here to the book of Revelations, and we're going to start at the 21st chapter, and we're going to read the 10th verse. And it carried me away in the spirit. Now, what does that mean? You see, flesh and blood can't go there now. I want you to get that up front. So get your mind off of flesh and blood beings going to and fro through these stargates. It just ain't going to happen. You have to have a body likened unto these mighty ones. They're different from us. We are of the earthly, and they're not. They can assume earthen bodies. And I don't know how this works. It's always been a mystery to me. And I left off in part one in our experience, and I gave you the examples of Genesis chapter 17, and 18 and 19, where we were discussing Abraham making the covenant and getting the covenant by Yahweh, and then the other two angels going over to Sodom and Gomorrah and destroying those two cities. Well, ladies and gentlemen, those three men were not just ordinary earthlings walking across the earth that Abraham saw in his vision as he looked out from under the oak trees there in Mamre. What he saw was three men walking, and one of them was Yahweh, and the other was the Michael, the war angel, and Gabriel, the messenger angel. And what stargate, or where did they come from? I mean, can you really comprehend this? I mean, they must have had an agenda. They must have been talking about this. They must have been aware of the evil of Sodom and Gomorrah, just like they were in the sixth chapter of the book of Genesis, where that men began to wax worse and worse, and then in the tenth chapter, the flood came. Well, ladies and gentlemen, here we have the 20. Did they come through a stargate? That's my take tonight. Did they land in on the earth in a starship out of sight? And we know that they have the ability to do this, because if you go to the 68th chapter of the book of Psalms, you will read that Yahweh's chariots, and we ain't talking about those chariots that in Ben-Hur the movie, where you see these mighty chariots with horses drawing them and racing and fighting and warring. We're not talking about chariots of war either. We're talking about chariots that fly through the air. And depicted upon cave drawings, ancient relics, and things of this nature in various places throughout and all over the earth is these pictures of these star crafts as they come and go, as the angels did in the book of Enoch, who was actually the ambassador or the mediator between these warring factions. Now, who's these warring factions? That's what we're... I'm just fascinated by the fact that these mighty ones, who were the progenitors of our seeds. You see, Satan's got a seed here, as I said in part one, and it is for sure that Yahweh's got a seed, and then there are seeds of others, other kinds of flesh here, like animals and the beast of the field, which is actually different from the animals, because we can prove that. And that's another message and another time. Here I'm going to start in Matthew chapter or Revelations 21, and I'm going to start at the 10th verse. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and a high mountain, and he showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone, most precious, even a jasper stone, clear as a crystal. Now, this is the text that I want to use in verse 12. And it had a great and a high wall. And it had 12 gates right there. I want you to capitalize on that right there. So, now remember, we talked about the gates of hell. The Messiah himself mentioned them. Now there's not much written about the gates of hell. It just came into his vocabulary and he spoke it out. And he said the gates of hell. There has to be some gates into the lower regions of the dimensionals, and there has to be some binding or some occupants, if you will, that are there. And is there evidence in the Bible that says they are? Well, we're going to examine that. You're going to be really encouraged tonight to know that we're not alone, and that there's warring factions right now, even as we speak. These spiritual powers, these wickedness in basically in high places, they're caught up, ladies and gentlemen. And there is an ensuing war, even as we speak at this very moment. And there was an ensuing war at the time that the Messiah spoke in the book of Matthew, chapter 16, verse 18. That there was a war going on at that time. He mentioned it in the book of Matthew. And then Paul mentions it. And then Peter mentions, so in the mouth of two or three witnesses, we're going to establish the fact that there's a dimensional place called a place or a residence of these evil ones. Now remember, they're separated out of the place where I'm reading right here in the verse 12 of Revelation 21. And it had 12 gates, and of all the gates, at the gates, listen to this, this is awesome, 12 angels. Oh my, ladies and gentlemen, 12 angels. It, where were they at? Well, if you really want to know, they were at the gates. They were exactly positioned at the point of the gates, and they guarded the entrance. Can you get that? Now, why would an angel be at the gate unless he was the gatekeeper? Well, what does this mean? I mean, how do we relate to it in our understanding of that spiritual mind, that left and right brain, the hemisphere of the brain? And I told you that the left brain was the logic, and that the right brain was emotion, according to the earthly psychologist. But if you reverse that field and come back to the left side of the brain and look at it as the emotional side, the side that Yahweh chose, and then logic of his understanding would be that these angels were positioned at the gate of the spirit realm, not the gate of the carnal. For to be carnal-minded is death, but to be spiritual-minded and to see beyond the veil of the things that you cannot see, as opposed to seeing the things that science sees or man sees, and then he draws his conclusion from what he can see. Well, what you can see is not what it is, because that's what it is not. You see, the faith that it takes for you to see these things is a clear understanding that there's 12 gates. Oh my, I just love that. What does 12 symbolize? 12 gates for of Abraham's offspring, Jacob. Isaac being his son, and Jacob being the prince that wrestled in a time gate upon a place. And I'm going to really fascinate you tonight, or maybe in the third part, because I don't know where I can get over to it tonight. We're going to talk about the 33rd dimension and Mount Hermon that's mentioned in the book of Ezekiel, or in the book of Enoch, as related to Ezekiel chapter 1, where Ezekiel saw these mighty ships, these chariots that I'm talking about here, and they took him through these time gates. They took Elijah through the time gates. They took Enoch through the time gates. Now, when I say time gates, time is only on the opposite side of the mind. You see, the logic mind, that time exists. But in the proper time gate, when you pass through the edge of time, you go to where time doesn't exist. And that's where these mighty ones dwell. That's where the watchers dwell. The Bible speaks of the watchers, and I want you to understand that tonight and comprehend it, that the watchers are chosen mighty ones, both good and bad. Now I'm gonna confirm that statement. The watchers are both good and they're both bad. We're going back to the time when these watchers actually fought each other. Now the watchers are those who are minding, if you will, the gates. Here we have the 12 angels at the 12 gates. And the names that were written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. Now, there was an east gate, a west gate, a south gate, and a north gate. Three gates per times 4 equals 12. And of course, we could tie that right into the fashioning of the altar, or the crown circle, as we like to call it, that is pointing toward the distant star of Draco. Now, Draco is at the gate. That's why he's positioned in the north. These are the evil ones who would prevent you, not allow you, but prevent you from getting back to the Father. Now, the Bible said, if I be lifted up, and ladies and gentlemen, we found in Acts chapter 1, he was lifted up. The Bible said he went up not on a cloud, but in a cloud. He wasn't from the earth. He was from a far country. And he actually gave us a parable of the master coming and then farming out his enterprises and giving it to men and giving them gifts to perform it, and then going back to the far country and waiting for his return and for those servants to be found working or found able to perform the function that they were given and the task that is set before you, and to be about their father's business. And ladies and gentlemen, that's exactly what was happening here at the time gates. These are something beyond the realm of science. Maybe our government is just now beginning to understand these time gate principles, or that time exists only on the logical side of the carnal mind. But on the spiritual side, there is no such thing as time. You see, these three angels, or this Yahweh and the two angels, and the 12 angels here at the gates, and the gates. You see, the Bible said that the Messiah had to die, and was necessary for him to descend first. Now that's a scripture here in the book of Jude. It's talking about likewise. Now listen to this now. Likewise, this is Jude 1:14. And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, behold, Yahweh cometh with 10,000s of his saints. Now they're coming through a stargate. They're coming through a portal. They're, You know, when they opened it, the earth is going to roll back like a scroll. And the things that you used to think, I mean, the existence, maybe we're in a cocoon. Maybe we're just in a painted place, a prison. Maybe earth is nothing but bound in a prison. And they were actually, it's not actually what you think it is, for the things that appear, Peter said, are not as they are. And the earth is going to roll back like a scroll to execute judgment upon all who convince all the ungodly among them that they did with their ungodly deeds, which they have ungodly committed, ungodly. And all of their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. And listen to it. And they were walking to and fro after their own lust, and with their mouth spoke great spelling words, having men's persons in admiration because of their advantage. But woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain, and ran greedily after the heir of Balaam for reward, and perished in the gain, the saying of Kor. Likewise, also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, and speak evil of dignities. Yet Michael the archangel, listen to this now, here's the revelation. Here it is. Now remember the gates of hell, where Satan was cast to, he was cast from the paradise above, where the 12 gates existed. And Satan was the second in command. He was the second commander to the starship fleet, if you will. These mighty ones that go through the heavens, go through and forth. Yet Michael the archangel, verse 9 of Jude 1. Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, as he disputed about the body of Moses, dared not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, Yahweh rebuke you. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I want to remind you, let's go back to Genesis chapter 18. Here's Michael and Gabriel going over to actually bomb or to blow up, however have they done it. And everybody thinks that, well, they just snap their fingers. Oh, no. There had to be a precise munition placed purposely, and it looks like it was nuclear. There's places around the area over there that is nothing but a molten glass sea of sand. And we understand in this particular area where Sodom and Gomorrah existed, the Dead Sea, it now exists. Could this be the crater caused by the gigantic nuclear explosion that literally destroyed this whole area and gapped open a great crater where it is now filled with Dead Sea brine, chemical water? And some of the minerals that come out of this is some of the most rich mineral deposits in the world. And could it be a combination of these flesh bodies that I said that could actually be your ancestors? Now remember, those who were disobedient in the days of Noah, and we're going to turn there, if you will, and I'll give you an account of a great prophet. I want you to listen real good to this scripture. This is just something that would actually, I mean, it fascinated me when I read this scripture. The first time I ever read this scripture, the revelation content of my understanding today, and the Bible said to grow in grace and knowledge. Notice this. For Christ, having once suffered for sin, this is 1 Peter verse 18. This is chapter 3, verse 18. For the unjust, that he might bring us to God. Bring us to God how? Was it through a stargate? Into the 12 gates? Remember, ladies and gentlemen, things are going to change. There's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. How are we going to get there? How are we going to go to heaven? Everybody wants to go to heaven, but nobody wants to die. You're going to have to die right now to get there. At the moment of death, you go back to be with the Father. That's how you make the transition. You can't go in flesh and blood. Well, can you be transformed? Well, Paul picked that narrative up in the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians, and he told us very well that you could be transformed. Notice this. That he might bring us, now, that he was put to death, that he, for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. Now, right there again, by the Spirit. Keep that in mind as we read verse 19. By the Spirit, by which the Spirit, he went and preached unto the spirits in prison. Now, the word Spirit here is the singular. In verse 18, the word spirits is 4151 in the Greek, but it's plural in verse 19, for by which he went and preached unto the spirits in prison. Now, who are these spirits? Well, let's find out. Which sometimes were disobedient when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls, were saved by water. Now, we know now that we know where he went. We know when he died, he didn't take off to heaven like everybody thinks. He went out of his body. Listen to this now real closely. He left his body, his physical body. It was dead. And it was in a tomb in the grave. But by the Spirit, he departed from that body. That's how the body died. If that Spirit had never departed from that body would have never died. It had to depart. And when he gave up the Spirit, it says he gave up the ghost. Meaning that Spirit left at the last breath that he drawed. In the physical body. Remember, they drained the blood out of that body, ladies and gentlemen. They bled it. They opened his side and out came blood and water, which is a type. And he went down and preached to the souls that were disobedient. The spirits. You see, you separated. Now, disembodied spirits. This is what we're dealing with here. Where does disembodied spirits go? Where do you go when you die? Do you really know? Would you like to know? Is it a foreboding thought? Would you like to put it off and not think about it? You see, most people don't think about dying. They think about living. And their concentration, dying. When I say that, I say with reservation, because nobody wants to die, including me, including the Messiah. I mean, he agonized so much about dying that it was almost beyond his ability to do so. He had to wrestle and pray about dying. Have you ever had to wrestle and pray about dying? I mean, you know, it is a terrifying experience when you have to wrestle about dying. But it's the gateway. It's the stargate. It's to take your spirit or your soul and let it take its flight from the body. When the great preacher, he explained it in the 12th chapter of the book of Ecclesiastes so eloquently. When that silver bowl is broken, or when that silver cord is severed or cut, then shall the spirit go back from whence it came. It goes through a stargate, ladies and gentlemen. It enters in heaven. If it goes into heaven, it has to enter the 12 gates. One of the 12 gates it has to enter. There is a particular gate for you, designed purposely, because Yahweh knew you from the foundation of the world with your name on one of those gates. Oh my, this is awesome. And we practice and we teach the concept on the sacred circle of the 12 gates and the identification of where you belong in that gate system, so that you would know when you depart here into the place where there is no time, an eternal departure. Now, you may come and go, because the Bible said that the spirits ascend and descend. That's what the Messiah did. He was ascended before he ever came down to descend, but when he died, he first descended before he ascended. And he went and preached to these departed, disembodied spirits that was disobedient in the days of Noah. And these are the very ones, as his sons and daughters, that Satan had enticed. And the fallen ones had persuaded through superstitious and fear, and through witchcraft, and through deception, and through the lust of the world, and the love of money. They built a Babylonian system opposing the kingdom of heaven. That's the gate system that the Messiah said he had to go down, and he kicked in the gates of hell. Literally. He kicked them in. Because there was somebody down there that had the keys to those gates in the lower regions, where every soul that ever died since Adam had remained trapped in prison. Can you comprehend that? Can you really grasp that maybe perhaps your living soul, spirit, body right now that you have in you, perhaps at one time was entombed in a prison in the netherworld? Could you comprehend that? Could you really think about that? Could you go into a death plunge of your spirit and comprehend them things, and let that saying that I just gave you, let it sink down into your ears, and that you could be willing to face the inevitable that you've lived before, and that you're going to live again? Now, if you're going to live again, perhaps you've lived before, because the Bible said, now let me give you a scripture to confirm what I'm saying here, and I've used it periodically in this series here, part one. There's nothing new under the sun, for what is to be has already been. And if there's nothing new under the sun, and what is to be, if you're to be, and you were at one point appointed to be where you're at right now. Well, if you're where you're at right now at this present time, see, you're in a time frame. Did you pre-exist in a place or when there was no time, when time ended for you? Is this your first incarnation into the earth? Could there be many that you've had before and you just don't remember it because those memories was blotted out to give you a evolutionary advantage to let your spirit learn these things that Yahweh felt necessary for you to come into this third dimensional time element to measure your flesh man binded to your soul and your soul binded to the flesh man and tied together with a silver cord, and the only thing that separated would be death, and that at death you go back from whence you came. Have you been here before? That's the time gate principle. Ladies and gentlemen, if you could see it, you may have already reached heaven in your spirit, but your flesh may be still functioning in a distorted time frame, because the Bible said there's nothing new under the sun. Can you grasp what I'm trying to tell you? And I struggle for the words and the proper phrases and the analogies to provoke you to think. And this is what it's all about, is to give you the power of thinking ability in the time gates, the 12 gates of heaven, and it doesn't say how many gates is into hell. But he said, the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Here Peter is acknowledging that these sometimes disobedient souls that were disobedient in the days of Noah, that's what he went and preached to. Have you been preached to before? And the Bible said you'll bear witness because you've been with him from the very beginning. And now, here you are with all that blotted out, but subconsciously, in the subconscious mind, everything that you've ever done from the very creation is embedded in your thought process, and the Bible said you know all things, but we see through the glass darkly. oh my, if you could comprehend the depth and the comprehension of what I'm trying to tell you in such an amazing way, that you are a very complex being that has been here from the very foundation of the world. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 8. But unto the Son he saith, thy throne, O God. Now, for you people that don't believe that the Son is God himself, that he was in a flesh body, but he pre-existed in his spirit before he ever brought the flesh body into existence, and yet periodically he could appear in that very same body, that flesh body, because Moses saw him in the Old Testament, the old parchment here. Moses desired to see him, and Yahweh said, you've asked me a hard thing, but I'll tell you, I'll promise you this, that since I'm in my eternal glory, I would have to hold my hands on your eyes and hide you in the crevice of this rock. And as I pass by, I'll remove my hand, and you can see my hinder parts. And just as soon as he did that, the Bible said he proclaimed the name of his person to Moses. And Moses was introduced to Yahweh. And the Bible said from that day forward, his face shined like a god. Ladies and gentlemen, this is an awesome concept of the Stargate, the systems that's designed. Thy throne, O God, thy throne, O God. Remember, the throne is the realm of his presence. And in this realm is a circle. And in this circle is 12 gates. And the 12 angels that guard it, they have keys. And if you are an unwanted subject, you're turned away. If you don't have the keys to the kingdom, you can't get in. If you haven't obeyed that form of doctrine, you can't get in. If you haven't kept his promise, the commandments, you ain't going to get in. You ain't going to go there. You're going to be turned away. There's going to be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Ladies and gentlemen, it's such a startling concept that it's almost beyond comprehension. Notice this, thy throne is forever and ever, a scepter of righteousness. Coming back to Hebrews 1 and 4. Now, we know that the Messiah, when he came, listen, as Paul tries to explain it in his limited vocabulary, God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in the last days spoken unto us by his Son. Listen to this now. This is an awesome scripture right here of revelation to the time gate principle of your thinking. I want you to go inside your mind tonight and bury deep into the deep thing. Did you know that the Bible said that it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God? It's fearful. Ladies and gentlemen, in the last days he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he made, to whom he hath appointed heir of all things, and also whom he made the worlds. Now that's what I read you in the opening of our series here on the Draco the Dragon series. And that's what I'm going to get into part three of the war between the dragon and the angels of righteousness. Yahweh's angels and the dragon's angels. And show you why they're fighting. There's a reason that they're fighting. It's the warring seeds of their genetics. Man has warred from the very inception since Cain brought blood out of a man's body. We've been subjected to wars and terror and rulership of wickedness and darkness prevailing. You see, the evil prevail. They love carnage. They love death, because that's the mission of these time gates of hell, which is to kill, steal, and destroy, that it would actually cheat our Heavenly Father out of his precious commodity, which is his seed, which he said he would lose none. Now, it's not everything that says they're Israel is Israel, ladies and gentlemen. I've got to stop there and pause and remind you. It ain't everything that says Lord, Lord is going to enter in. And it's not everything that has said Lord, Lord, that think they're going are going to make the grade. And I told you, in the 12 gates, when they get there, they're going to be turned away and there's going to be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And so you better make your election and calling sure. You better think on these things. By whom he made the worlds. That word is plural right there. The word is plural. And ladies and gentlemen, if you understand the pluralness of that word and the consequences that there is worlds below and worlds above. There are gates above and gates below. Now, the Bible spoke in when Jacob's time, the father of the 12 tribes here, that the heaven gates are named in honor of, with the 12 apostles, which were the 12 disciples or descendants of Jacob, every one of them Jacobites, sons of Jacob, and we know exactly who they are and what their names were. And we know that they're all going to inherit. And Yahweh's not going to lose not one of his children that was his. If he has to let this thing, the Bible said his long-suffering is for sure, that he is going to let this thing go on until he's assured that he gets all of his children. He will not leave one in hell. Oh my, I just, it's almost incomprehensible of the love that the Father had you from me, for you and me. If you could really comprehend that love, if you could just wrap your arms and thoughts around that statement that he would not let one of his sheep, one of his lambs, and we're going to play you the song when we depart here just in a few minutes, that we're going to play you this song about the lambs. Ladies and gentlemen, it's marvelous. Now, Brother Blake brought a song with, he is changing me. You're metamorphically changing from an old creature of the flesh to a new creature to enter or pass through the time gate. And blessed are they, for precious in the sight of Yahweh is the death of his saints. Death is it's a stargate door. It's an entrance to life. Death is not the absolute finale. I know that we miss things in the flesh because we're temporal. And we mourn for those who pass on. But that's not what we should do. We should rejoice because they pass through the gate of life, the time gates of life. And that's what Yahweh has promised us, that he said, I will go and I will prepare a place for you. He talked about how that you could live in this wicked world and learn the obedience to the command and who be in the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power when he himself purged our sins and sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high, being made so much better than angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. For which of the angels said he at any time, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee? And again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. And again, when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, oh my, he saith, let all the angels of God worship him. You know who that was? That was Abel. Abel was the firstborn of Yahweh. And when he commanded Satan to worship him, Satan provoked the seed of his own body to kill that which should have been worshipped. You know who Abel was, ladies and gentlemen? He was a son of God, slain from the foundation of the world. And yet, he lived. Because he came back again as the Son of God. And this time, he prevailed. He said, "Behold, I beheld Satan as lightning fell from heaven." Ladies and gentlemen, it's an awesome concept to think that Yahweh gave us the power to behold Satan as lightning fell from the heaven. Could you comprehend that? That you have in you right now the nucleus of being greater than all the angels, because he said, "Let all the angels worship him." And the angels refused. Satan refused. And Satan convinced one third of the other angels to refuse. And you know what they done? They said, "Well, man, if he can play this game, if he can get sons and daughters, we can get them." That's what they said. And so they rebelled, and they came down, and they began to mate and to practice and cast the truth aground, and they prospered, and they have ruled this world. See, the children of darkness, this is the world of darkness. When you came through the birth canal and somebody smacked you on the rear to get you to start breathing, you panicked when you seen how foreboding and dark and unnatural this flesh world is. You see, ladies and gentlemen, the Bible talks about a people that are strangers here, not acclimated to the earth. They don't like this earth. They don't like anything about it, because they're strangers. And you know what the strangers feel like. You go to a place you're not wanted. You go to a place you're hated. You go to a place you're despised, and you're miserable. And you long for a place of home. You see, this is not home, ladies and gentlemen. You're just a stranger and a pilgrim passing through. And you got to go through the time gates to get there. You got my message tonight, part two of the draconian agenda. Satan is positioned in the north to forbid you to pass through the time gate of eternity. Are you going to make the grade? I believe you are. I'm praying for you that Yahweh would give you strength and understanding and comprehension to take this message to a depth level of comprehension that you could think on these things. And we'll be back Friday night, and we'll be live, Yahweh willing, from Bryson City, North Carolina. We'll be doing the message live from Bryson City, and we'll continue with part three and finalize this concept of the Battle of the Galactics, the Battle of the Starships, soon coming to the finality of this physical world. If Satan and his angels are about to appear, we got 20 and 12 coming up, the changing of the ages, the end of the age of Pisces, the two fish bound together with a cord, to the point of the age of Aquarius, which is symbolic, and I've got some great stuff to get into and to tell you about that, about the 33rd degrees. Oh, I might have to do another series on this just to get to that part of my expression of understanding, to hope it would give you insight into the Stargate principles, the timelines, dimensional spirit, separation of flesh and blood into the everlasting eternal presence of Yahweh. You'll no longer be a stranger and a pilgrim on this earth when you enter into the age that Yahweh's got coming for you, a new heaven and a new earth. Ladies and gentlemen, it's wonderful. Live from Bryson City, Friday night at 9:30 Eastern Standard Time. Join us for part three of the draconian agenda of our three-part series. If you'd like to have it, you can just write Pastor Buddy, and that's Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee. Now, again, that's Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Caswell, Tennessee, the zip 37824. If you'd like to call me tonight, I'm live here around the world on WWRB Clear Channel Worldwide Radio. You can call me at area code 423-626-2172. We'd be glad to take your call tonight, and we love you. That's why that we're willing to stay up late and take you to the stargates of your understanding of your mind. You see, the kingdom is within. Luke 17, verse 20 says that the kingdom of heaven is within you. I want you to look deep into yourself and open up that stargate. You see, the eye, the single eye in your body, that's the body full of light. And that's the inward kingdom that is hidden in you that you can't see. And there's an inward man in there who wants you to press toward the mark and the high calling and encouraging you to step through the portal of time into the face of He that made the worlds before the worlds was. Ladies and gentlemen, you were there, and so were I, and it's wonderful. Now again, Bryson City, North Carolina, for Pentecost. If you'd like to come, call Pastor Buddy. We'll give you directions how to get over to the assembly there. We're just going to have a little meeting there. And it will be a one-day meeting on Saturday. The brothers will be getting together around, and we'll have a one-day meeting. We'll have a wonderful time. We're going to have some fellowship, and we're going to be doing that there in Bryson City, North Carolina. Well, we love you, ladies and gentlemen, and I'll see you. Yahweh bless you, you little lambs. I love you a lot. Ba 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 ba